You'll take your Bible with me and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to be in verse 28 through 31. Again, we're in our series On Track. We're looking at how do we run the Christian race well? How do we run it in such a way that we will then finish well? And we've been looking at a lot of different things regarding that. Lately, we've been in Hebrews chapter 12. But now in Isaiah chapter 40, there's a really powerful passage that speaks about our subject. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word this evening, Lord, help us to be able to hear your word with hearts that are ready to receive it. And we're asking that your Holy Spirit would speak to us as only he can do. And so we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Every year on the 4th of July, we like to do sparklers. And I'm sure that's, especially in Connecticut, you know, where we don't have the most amazing fireworks available to us. You know, sparklers are almost the pinnacle there. But every year we like to do those with the kids, and so we'll get some sparklers. And we'll wait until it's a little darker, you know, so it's you know, they're a little brighter. And then we let the kids do the sparklers. So we'll pass them out, or we'll hand one out to each of the kids, and then we light them and off they go. You know, and they like to either run around with them as fast as they can go, or they'll just stand there and kind of wave them around and do all sorts of things, and they really enjoy sparklers. Some of them, if they're a little timid about them or afraid of, you know, the fire and burning themselves, will take a cup. You've done this, right? Turn it upside down, you poke a hole through it, and then they can hold the cup, and the sparkler comes out to the bottom of the cup there, and it's a little protection for their hands. They like to do that. But, you know, the thing about sparklers is they don't last that long. You know, they need to make these things a little larger or longer or something. I mean, how long do they last? Like 30 seconds, maybe? And, you know, they go out and they run around with these things and wave them around, and then they're right back there for the next one. And that's the parrot sparkler experience, is just trying to light these things and saying, "Hold it still. I can't hold it in the flame." You're like, "Just hold the thing still. Here, let me hold it and let me do it for you." And that's kind of thing, because you got to do it over and over and over again. That's why they sell them in such huge quantities, right, or large quantities, because they don't last you very long. And then you've got to go get another one. Sometimes they'll say, "I want to do two or three." So you'll put two or three together, and they do that. But it doesn't last any longer with that more. But now, imagine a scenario with me. All right, you wake up, and it's early in the morning. It's pitch black out. And as soon as you wake up, you can hear that the power's out. You know how, like, you don't even notice a lot of the noise that goes on until the power's out. And you go, "Wow, it's really quiet." Like, there's a lot of... So you wake up, and it's pitch black. The power's out. And then you look at your phone, and it had, you know, the battery had been at like 5%. You're like, "Oh, no problem. I'll charge it overnight." Well, the power had gone off pretty early, and it did not charge. So the phone battery's dead. You can say, "I'll go find a flashlight." Either don't have batteries or they're dead. And that's how it works every single time. Then it dawns on you. All right, this is a pretend. You go, "Well, I got some sparklers, right? Why don't I just use sparklers?" Can you imagine how frustrating that is? Trying to get ready and you're like, "All right, light a sparkler. I got 30 seconds. I'm going to do as much as I can in 30 seconds with this sparkler." Sure enough, it goes out and you're like, "All right, light another one of those things. I got another 30 seconds to try and brush my teeth or find anything in the house." Can you imagine how frustrating that would be, trying to get things done when all you've got is something that burns for a little while and then it fizzles out? And it makes us really appreciate lights, where you can flip the switch and it just stays on, right? It's just continuous light. And we really enjoy that. But I think, you know, when we talk about this passage, I think we'd all admit that there's times in our Christian life where it looks a lot like we're just kind of running on sparklers, right? Where we got like great flashes of, seems like things are going well, and then it fizzles out. And then there's just this period of darkness in our life, or there's no light, and just waiting for that next sparkler to light up again. And then it flames for a while, and then it fizzles out, and we're left without that light again. Really, in contrast to what the Bible says about letting your light so shine before men, right? That constant shining that God desires for us. But in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 through 31, especially in verse 29 and 31, the Bible, I think, is describing what we would, in terms of our analogy that we're using of being on track and running, what we would call stamina. Or sometimes we call it like a staying power. And the word stamina, defined as the bodily or mental capacity to sustain a prolonged stressful effort or activity, or the moral or emotional strength to continue with a difficult process or effort. That's what it is. It's just being able to really be consistent, right? And consistently doing what is right. And the definition talked about being able to do that through difficulty, or when things are not easy, or when things are hard, when there's opposition. It's that stamina to be able to go through those things. And that's what God is describing for us in this passage. It's not a Christian life that is constantly fizzling out or quitting or dropping out. And when we talk about all of that, fizzling out and quitting, that is a sign that either we started this in the flesh, or at some point we made the decision to continue in the flesh. Because it's always our flesh that's going to quit on us. And it's always our flesh that's going to fail and fizzle out despite our efforts. And it's going to take stamina, and it's going to take staying power for us to finish well. As we look at the Christian life and our goal, because our goal in this is finishing well. That's what we're talking about. Not just running well for a short period of time, but finishing this race well. And we understand that that's going to take some stamina. That's going to take staying power. And the distance of our race requires stamina. It's not we've heard this before, right? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Our goal isn't just the next bend in the road. Our goal is that finish line and finishing well. And stamina, if we're going to have stamina in the Christian race, if we're going to have staying power, there's strategy that's involved in that. Like with any sort of race that's a longer race, there's a lot of strategy that goes into sustaining progress over the length of that race. And so as we plan to run our entire course well and to run it consistently, there's some things that we need to take into account. And I want us to see those tonight from Isaiah chapter 40. And the first factor we need to take into account is in verse 30. We're going to start there. And it's this: we need to take into account our identity, who we are. So look in verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Our identity. And our identity is simply that we're human. And our failing strength. Does anyone here like their driver's license photo? Anybody here like your driver's license photo? Probably not. I mean, it seems like as soon as you get that back, you're like, can we, I don't know, I got to live with this for the next however many years it is till I get my new one. And everyone's like, why did my hair look weird? Or why am I making that face? Or why didn't they give me like a little countdown, give me a little warning before they took that picture? And now you get that back and you look at your picture and you go, oh man, now I know every time somebody asks for an ID, I got to show them this picture. And they've got to like hold it up and like do that thing where they compare my face to this picture. You go, that's who I am, right? That's my identity from now on. And we have to claim that as who we are. And it's a lot easier when we're claiming like pictures of us that look good. We're like, yeah, that's me. Or, you know, you think you look fine in that picture. And or when it's like your positive qualities that someone's talking about, those are easier to claim than the negative things. But good things happen when we come to terms with who we are, and especially with our weaknesses, when we understand who we really are in the bad areas. When we really come to terms with those, it's then that we can move on from there. We can make progress in those areas. And the Lord identifies for us who we really are. And he points out our humanity very clearly to us in verse 30 and even in verse 29. And so here's who we are, right? And this is what we have to identify ourselves as. There's several different words that are used to describe us. Verse 29, he says, he giveth power to, here we are, this is us, the faint. That's who we are. We are the faint. It means to be exhausted and tired. I remember someone in college saying, you know you're tired when your first thought upon waking up is how many hours left till I get back here, till I get back in my bed. But we are, right? A lot of the times we're exhausted and we're tired, and we could talk about the pace of America and how fast we move compared to other countries, but that emotional and physical tiredness has an effect on us spiritually. But that's who we are, because we're humans. And we need that rest, we need that sleep, and we get tired. That's why the Lord had to go to Elijah, and in Elijah's depths of discouragement, if you remember that chapter after he was on that mountain and the prophets of Baal and that on Mount Carmel and that whole victory, and then we see his depression in that next chapter, and a lot of that was because of his tiredness. And the Lord looked at him and said, "You need a nap. You just need to sleep." That's who we are. We're the faint, those that are tired and weary. Look in verse 29 again. And it says, "And to them that have no might, he increases strength." That's us again. Those that have no might. So we are the weak. Lacking strength, it also has the idea of inability, like lacking the ability to do something. And physicality doesn't equate to spirituality. You can't look at someone and say, well, they look physically fit, so they therefore must be spiritually fit as well. They don't go hand in hand. And because all of us, we're all weak, right? Regardless of your level of physical fitness, all of us, when it comes to what we're talking about running the Christian race, all of us are the weak ones. That's who we are. And so he says we're faint. In verse 29, he says we're weak. Verse 30, he uses that word again. He says, even the youth shall faint. And then he says, and be weary. So not only are we faint, not only are we weak, but the Bible says we're also weary. It means to be tired from working or worn out from labor. And it seems to be the idea of like feeling exhausted and yet knowing you've got a long way to go. You know, you start a job and you get 10 minutes in, you go, I'm tired. You know, I'm tired of doing this. And you look and go, I've got a lot more to go. It's that feeling of just being weary. You've been doing the same thing. And the Bible talks about not being weary and well-doing, right? Just thinking, I've got so much to do and there's so much progress to be made. And I'm just so tired. I'm just worn out from all that I've put into that. And then he says in verse 30, the end of verse 30, and the young men shall utterly fall. We are the fallen. Those that have stumbled and staggered, we're unable to stay on our feet. And this is really what happens when you try to run when you're exhausted, when you're just tired and it's like you can't stay on your feet anymore. You're just trying to do more, but you don't have the energy, you don't have the strength, you can't physically do it, and you just stumble and you stagger and then you fall. And the Bible says this is who we are. This is our identity. And we're not going to move past this until we understand this, until we recognize who we are. And it's like when you go to a doctor and they tell you like it is, they tell you your condition, then you get a second opinion, and they agree with that. And you get a third opinion, and they agree. You can fight that all you want, and you can argue against that. But you're not going to get the help that you need until you say, okay, this is where I am. This is who I am. Now what do we do? Now where do we go from here? That's what the Lord's doing. He's saying before you can find the strength that you need, you have to understand that it is not in you. Your strength is not in who you are. We have to accept that we are the faint, the weak, the weary, and the fallen. And we have no stamina for the Christian life. We have no staying power. We can't run well, and we cannot finish well because of who we are. And I'm not saying that our response to this shouldn't be, okay, I'm going to try harder, right? I'm going to do more. I'm going to put more effort into this. The point is, you don't have the more effort. You don't have the ability to try harder or do more to get yourself any further or to progress any more or to run any better or to finish any better, because it's not in who we are. And once we understand this, that's when we can move forward from this place. So we have to understand, we have to take into account who we are, our identity. Secondly, we have to take into account his identity, who God is. And so in verse 28, it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Haven't you gotten this by now? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." And the Lord makes it very clear. He takes the time to make it very clear to us exactly who he is. As he starts this passage that we're looking at, he starts with this: "You have to understand who I am," because that's so important. And it's even made more clear when it's contrasted with who we are, because that's what he does. He says, okay, here's who I am, and this is who you are. And that contrast makes it very easy for us to understand the difference. You see sometimes in kids' books when they're talking about larger things, like especially with animals, when they try and convey to kids how big like a blue whale is or an elephant is, or you know, some of these dinosaurs that they have. What they'll do is they'll have the illustration of that animal, and then they'll put a smaller person there. And without that person, you would think, I don't know how big that is. You know, maybe it's small enough I can hold it in my hand. Maybe I could have it as a pet, right? And then they say, oh, that's how big this is when I contrast it with how small we are. And that's what the Bible's doing. It's saying you need to understand this contrast, this difference between who you are as the weary, the weak, the faint, the fallen, and who God is. And this is so important for us to understand. And when we talk about who God is, we understand that it's so impossible for us to really comprehend how great God is. It's like some of these large numbers that they throw out, trillions and higher. You go, I can't really comprehend that. Or how big some of the things in the universe are, how far away different stars are. It's hard for us to really comprehend that. And it's the same with God, right? It's hard for us to understand just how great God is, but we have to try because the Bible helps us. And the Bible says you need to at least try to understand how great God is and try more and more to comprehend the vast difference between God and who we are. And so here's what he says in verse 28. He is the everlasting God, the everlasting God. Here people say nothing lasts forever. Well, there's an exception to that, isn't there?
Amen.
God lasts forever. He says he's the eternal God. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus Christ introduces himself to John saying this: "I am Alpha and Omega," and he says, "the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." And he kind of, we would say in a sense, almost he's hammering this point home by repetition, saying, "I am the Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning, the end. I am the one that which is, which was, and which is to come." And he says, "I am always the Almighty." But he says, "I'm the everlasting God." And you know, that's the definition, isn't it, of staying power. That's the definition of stamina. That God has always been 100% God. He has always been the Almighty.
Amen.
He has staying power, and there's nothing that can change that about who God is. So he's the everlasting God. It says not only that, he is the Lord. That's the term or the name Jehovah, the self-existent one. That's who God is. He's independent of all else. And when the Lord introduced himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And he introduced himself and he said, Moses, here's what you need to know. He goes, I am that I am. Not I was made what I am. Simply, I am. And in every single age, every single moment, we can say God is. God is everything that he was and everything that he will be. And it's that, just that term that sums up everything about who God is, that he is. He is constantly that present God that is always the same. So he is the Lord. He is God alone. He is also, it says in verse 28, not only the everlasting God, not only the Lord, but then he says he's the creator of the ends of the earth. Creator of the ends of the earth. Or he made all of it, all the way to the end. You can search all over this planet and you will find that he has created it all. He created everything. And this is his power in action, right? His visible work. We can see what God has done. We can touch what God has made. We can experience the power and the might and the majesty of God as our creator in all that is around us. He's the creator, but then it says in verse 28 that he fainteth not, neither is weary. He fainteth not, neither is weary. Here's this great contrast. He never gets tired. You know, when we talk about the days of creation, sometimes kids get the wrong idea about that seventh day, right? They find out all that God made in those 6 days, and then we say, and God rested. And they go, I understand that, you know. He did a lot, he's tired. You know, everybody needs a rest after they do so much. The idea isn't that God was tired. We know it simply means that he stopped the work that he was doing. Kids are like, yeah, I understand. I take naps too, right? But then in Psalms it says that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbereth nor sleepeth, right? He never is tired. His eyes never close in exhaustion. And with all that God does, he never needs to take a break from his work, from all that he is doing. He never gets so overwhelmed with it or tired of doing it, or like the repetitive nature like we do. He's constantly doing what needs to be done and doing his work. And even as humans, we can go for a while without sleep. I read that there was a 17-year-old who stayed awake for 11 days for a high school science fair project. I went, that's commitment, you know, or he just wanted to, you know, play games or something for 11 straight days. But he went 11 days without sleep. But ultimately, our body shuts down. Our body tells us that we need sleep, right? It's just we can fight it for a while, but ultimately we need rest. But you know, God cannot be said to need anything. He's the self-existent one. He exists independently of all other things. He doesn't need us to exist. He doesn't need his creation to exist. He's God. He's independent of that. And he doesn't need to rest. He doesn't need to rest. Even with all that goes on, and we see his hand in so many different ways. You know, we could hear testimonies of how God is working all around this world. And we can look at that and go, he still doesn't need any break from that. He fainteth not, neither is weary. He never has to take a break from what he's doing. And so we have these two distinct identities, don't we? We have who we are as the fallen, the faint, the weak, the weary, and we have God, the everlasting God, the creator, the one who never faints, who is never weary. And even as the Lord tells us this, and he tells us who we are, he then extends this, he extends hope to us, doesn't he? Where he says in verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And whenever you look at God, you're going to find hope. That's just the way it is. Whenever you're without hope, you just need to look to the one who can give you hope. That's the way it is all throughout Scripture. We look to God and we find hope. And right now, if we were to look at ourselves, we're not going to find any hope. We're not going to find hope if all we did was look at ourselves and what we're able to do, who we are mentally and emotionally and physically. We would look to that and say, I don't find any hope for me running this race well or finishing the race well. And Paul would say in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And then he said, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul says, there's a will in me to do what's right. He says, I want to do the right thing, and I know the right thing to do. And he says, but with that will, there is not the performance to go with that. He says, I don't find in me anything that can perform what I know is right to do. And isn't that every single one of us? We go, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I know the word of God. I know what's right to do. So many times, though, I try and find something in myself to do what is right, and I don't have it. I don't have that ability to perform, the ability to do what I know is right. And the answer is we're looking in the wrong place, and we understand that because we see our identity. We say, it's not in me to run this race well. But then The Lord says, listen, there is hope for you, even though you are still the fallen and the faint and the weak and the weary. And he says in verse 31, and this is his intervention. His intervention. Verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. His intervention. You know, a lot of things have changed during this pandemic. And one thing I know that it was already really in decline, and I think maybe this pandemic has finished it off, and that is hitchhiking. How many of you have ever hitchhiked in your life? Raise your hand if you've hitchhiked before. Yeah, it's mostly a generational thing. There's some exceptions, but I've never hitchhiked before. I do remember as one time as a child that we were, I think we were going to Vermont, Dad picked up a hitchhiker. And it was a great experience. You know, he was a nice young man, and we had, you know, he was fine. But one of the things that put hitchhiking into decline was first they had all these stories about either being attacked by a hitchhiker or hitchhikers being attacked. And there were a lot of these stories going around about all of the things that could happen and like alerting people to the dangers of this. And so it kind of started to fade away. And now I think with a pandemic, I don't think anybody's picking up random strangers along the side of the road. Who knows what they're going to give you or share with you or transmit or any of that. I think we can see, though, some parallels between hitchhiking and verse 31 that I think could help us, right? Because it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And maybe we can think about, we've been talking about running the Christian race, and maybe for a moment we think about it as riding the Christian race. Because maybe if we, and I know the Bible uses the idea of running, and so that's not a bad analogy to use. But maybe sometimes we can get the idea of running as it's about us. Now, I do like the idea of running because it points to our individual responsibility, that it's choices that we have to make, and that is very true. But one of the choices we have to make is, I'm going to wait upon the Lord. And so if we talk about it as, for just tonight, riding the Christian race, saying, I'm going to wait upon the Lord, and I'm going to wait upon Him to take me along on this race. Wait upon the Lord. Do you realize you're not going anywhere unless the Lord takes you there? Because that is the truth. That's the truth about our identity in His identity. We're not running this race without Jesus Christ. We're not finishing this Christian race without Jesus Christ. It all comes down to His intervention in our weakness, in our identity and who we are. And what Isaiah is writing about is a certain mindset, a way of thinking about who we are and then what God can do in our life. And this is a mindset that needs to affect every waking moment of our life, that we need to wait upon the Lord. And it's that idea of simple dependence. And it's that understanding that I can't do anything unless I trust in God to do it through me and for me. And I like, we sing a hymn that was written by a lady named Annie Hawks, and she wrote it in 1872. And it's, I need thee every hour. And this is the chorus. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. And as I was studying for this message, I was thinking about that song, and I really appreciate how she wrote that chorus, because she didn't write it, I need Him, oh, I need Him, every hour I need Him, or we need Him, oh, we need Him, every hour we need Him. She wrote it, I need Thee. She wrote it as this prayer, and that's what it is. When we sing that song, it's really this prayer that we're singing to the Lord, not just like restating a fact that we know, I need Jesus, but it's saying, I need You, Lord. It's directing our thoughts toward the One that can do something about who we are. And she wrote it as this prayer, and I wonder how different our life would be if we just prayed this all the time. If that was just the constant, continuing prayer. You know, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. If this was the unceasing prayer of our heart, how different would our life be? If over and over, every moment of every day, was just simply, I need Thee. Oh Lord, I need Thee. I come to Thee right now because I need You every hour. That's going to make a change in our life. That's going to make the change that we see in verse 31 from verse 30. Verse 30, we have who we are in our flesh by ourselves, saying we're fainting, we're weary. The young men, even the young men shall utterly fall. But there's a difference in verse 31. We see people that are mounting up with wings as eagles and running and not being weary. We see some that are walking and not fainting. And who is it? It's they that wait upon the Lord. Those that have simply said, Lord, I need you right now. I need you every hour of every single day. It's those that have made that the choice and the prayer of their heart to understand who they are and understand who God is and say, I need him to intervene in my life. Because without that, I cannot run. Without that, I cannot finish well in my Christian race. And so verse 29, I love this. It says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You know, it doesn't say that he makes you strong. It's that he gives you his strength. And I understand it's always going to be his strength. It's not that you pray this prayer once and boom, you're on your own and you're good to go from this point on out. No, it's every single waking moment you are waiting upon him for his strength that he will give to you. But it will always be his strength. Because I understand we are always going to be the side of glory, the weak and the weary and the faint and the fallen. We will always be that way. He will always be the everlasting God and the creator and the Lord, the one who is never tired, the one who has all the strength. He is always going to be the Almighty. And it will always be that way. And so we need to wait upon the Lord. He'll give us his strength to continue on. So there's our identity, his identity, and his intervention. You know, there was a poem that was really popular in the 1970s. And it was the one called Footprints in the Sand, and I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with this, right? And it's in a person has this dream, I guess, and they see two sets of footprints, and it's theirs and the Lord's. You know, it's a picture of them walking with the Lord. But then during trials, it says that there's only, they see in this dream that during the trials, there's only one set of footprints. And so they ask the Lord, why when I needed you most, have you not been there for me? And the Lord's reply is that through those times I carried you. Now that's a good sentiment, right? That the Lord is with us even in those trials. But could I correct this poem for a little bit tonight? I think it would go better if we said, you know what? In a dream, I looked and I saw one set of footprints through the sand, right? Just one set. And I said, and then I saw one set of footprints and a lot of holes, just deep holes dug periodically along the way. I said, Lord, why only one set of footprints? And the Lord said, well, that's when I carried you all the way. And you say, well, what about the holes? And he goes, that's what you dug when you wanted down, right? And that's what it would kind of be, right? We say, well, I'm on my own. I'll walk a little bit. And about all we do is dig a hole for ourselves. The only progress we make is when we wait upon the Lord. And then he carries us through this life and through this race, because that's who we are. And tonight, maybe we've misidentified who we are, because that could be an issue. And maybe we've been carried for a while, and we say, you know what, I think I'm okay. You know, I think I'm no longer the weary and the weak. I think I can do this, at least for a little bit. And all of a sudden, it starts to shift. And the prayer of our heart becomes more and more sporadic about, I need thee every hour. And now it's, I need thee for this or that, but the rest of the time, I'm going to try and do this on my own. And we're just digging holes in the sand, and we're not getting anywhere when we say that. And maybe we start to live like we're strong enough. But to do that, we have to ignore all of Scripture and all the signs in our life that show us that we're not making the progress that God could make in our life. Because to run the Christian race, to run it well, to finish strong, is going to take some stamina. It's going to take staying power from now to the finish line. And we talked about that finish line as arriving there, still fighting, right? Still working and still believing. And getting to that place is going to take stamina. And we end every sermon with this thought, finishing well starts now. Finishing well starts right now, and it starts by making this passage our constant mindset, that we've always got in our minds and in our hearts who we are, that we never walk away from that, that we never get so blinded to who we really are and how weak and weary and faint and fallen we are. And then we never get away from how great and how powerful and how different God is from who we are. And then it starts simply by making "I need thee" every hour the simple prayer of our heart. Just a simple cry from the depths of our soul saying, "Lord, I need you. I need you for this simple task. I need you for this difficult task. I need you for every moment." And it starts by just repeating that over and over and over and over throughout our day, saying, "Lord, I need you every hour." You know, there's a question that runners will ask themselves as they get into a longer run, and it's the question, "Can I keep up this pace? At the rate I'm going, at the energy I'm expending and all of that, can I keep this up till the end, till the finish line?" And I want us to ask that question tonight. As you're living your life right now, can you keep up this pace? Can you keep it up as you're living this Christian life? Or I guess we could put it this way. Do you feel like you're struggling? Does it feel like you're really struggling to make any progress or to follow the Lord? Does it feel like you're really struggling to run the Christian race? And maybe we would look at our life and say, you know what, it's really not about me keeping up the pace. It's more like I'm a series of sparklers, if we can go back to that analogy, where it's like I push hard and then I'm done for a while. And then I try it again and I'm good for a little bit and then I'm done for a while. All of that is a sign that we're trying to do it in our own identity, that we're trying to do it how we are and with what we have in us. And your life is going to show what identity controls you. It will. The way you live your life and the results of that. And it may be not even things that other people see about you, but you know deep inside, you know in your heart how things are going, what other people may not know. But you will know what identity is controlling you. And we know which identity needs to control us. It has to be the Lord. And those that trust in themselves, well, they'll find themselves in verse 30, won't they? They'll find themselves fainting, being weary. They'll find themselves utterly falling. But those in verse 31, those that wait upon the Lord, those that say, "I need you, Lord, I need you every hour." Those that wait upon the Lord, they're going to renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord, they'll find that stamina. They'll find that staying power to run the race well and to finish well. Let's close with prayer.